This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli, Allahumma hdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi, amin ya rabbil alamin. Inshallah, in today's class, Asma'ullah al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah the Exalted, our fifth session. And we will begin with the name of Allah, Al-Khabir. Al-Khabir, meaning the one who is ever aware, the one who is fully aware of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada wa Huwa al-Hakimul Khabir, that He is the knower of the unseen and the witnessed, meaning whether something is hidden from people or it is visible to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it all. And He is Al-Hakim, the one who is wise, and Al-Khabir, the one who is fully acquainted. The name of Allah, Al-Khabir, occurs 45 times in the Quran. And the name Al-Khabir basically means the one who is fully and completely aware, meaning the one who has complete khabar. And khabar is basically to have knowledge of something. And it is different from ilm in the sense that khabar is to have knowledge of the internal state of things, or the real state of things. You see, sometimes we may be aware of something, but we may be misinformed, right? Or our knowledge of it may be incomplete. And that is a fact regarding us. We think we know something, but we only know the surface, right? We think that someone is a friend to us, but we don't really know what's in their heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has khabar, and khabar is to have knowledge of the internal state of things, or the real state of things. It is to have thorough, complete knowledge. And remember that khabar is also information. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has full information, meaning He has full knowledge of things. So al-khabir, meaning He has complete knowledge of everything. He knows what has been and what is or will be. So all news, all stories, all reports, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of all of them, whether they are visible to us or not, whether they are in front of us or beyond us. But nothing is hidden from Allah. Nothing is unknown to Allah. And then al-khabir, given the meaning of the word khabar, remember that khabir is one who knows the internal realities of everything. You see, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes we think that someone is a friend to us, but what is really in their heart is unknown to us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it, right? We're eating something, we think that it is going to be sweet and delicious, but when we put it in our mouth and we bite it, we realize how bitter it is, right? So we don't know the inner state of things, and we don't know the reality of things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge of everything. So whether it is lahir or batin, meaning whether something is visible or hidden, it is obvious, it is manifest, or it is hiding inside, whether it is external or it is internal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of it. Imam Ghazali said that no news or information of the most hidden things is hidden from Allah. And nothing happens in the dominion, and no atom moves or becomes still, and no soul feels uneasy or calm except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. Because you see, sometimes there is a movement inside of us where feelings change, right? Or, there's a change of intention. There is a change of mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. So whether something is tangible or intangible, whether it is obvious or not, it is all known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the name Al-Khabir in the Quran, we see that first of all, the name Al-Khabir is paired with Al-Latif. Meaning, the name of Allah Al-Khabir comes with the name Al-Latif. So for example, in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Should the one who created not know while he is Al-Latif Al-Khabir? Meaning, first of all, the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything. And then secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif Al-Khabir, the one who is fully aware. So does he not know his creation? Of course he knows his creation. Then we see that the name of Allah Al-Khabir is also paired with Al-Basir. Al-Basir meaning the one who sees. And we did this name earlier. In Surah Fatir, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِعِبَادِهِ لَخَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. That indeed Allah is of his servants, aware and seeing. And then the name of Allah, Al-Khabir, also comes with the name Al-Alim. نَبَّأَنِي الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. That the ever-knowing, the fully aware, informed me. So the fact that the name of Allah Al-Khabir comes with Latif, with Basir, with Alim, it all of this shows how perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, his awareness is. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Khabir, what does that mean for us? What is it that we are supposed to do? How is it that we practically demonstrate our belief in this name of Allah Al-Khabir? First of all, what this means for us is that we should be humble. Meaning, no matter what we know, no matter what we have discovered, no matter where we have reached, and no matter how far we have gone, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about it. You know, we study something for so long and finally we memorize it, right? And then we feel so happy that, yes, I know this. We work on something for so long and finally we achieve it. And then we have this sense of, you know, pride. But remember that whatever we have discovered, whatever that we have just, you know, learned about was already known to Allah, because Allah is Al-Khabir. We learn about Dhul-Qarnayn in Surah Al-Kahf that he traveled so far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so many resources. He discovered so many places, and he conquered so many areas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, كَذَلِكْ وَقَدْ أَحَطُنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. That we had already encompassed it in awareness. Meaning if Dhul-Qarnayn reached to the farthest east, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about it. If he reached the farthest west, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about the farthest west, right? And it also means that whatever that Dhul-Qarnayn did, wherever he went, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was fully aware of it. None of his activities were hidden or unknown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is that we need to be humble. Secondly, we should be mindful of Allah. Given that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Khabir, he knows what is going on inside of our hearts, what we are doing in private, this means that we have to be mindful of Allah. That whether it is something small that we are doing that is wrong, or something major, meaning a minor offense or a major offense. Whether we are doing something in love or we're doing something in hate. We're doing something in friendship, or we're doing something out of greed. Whatever it is that we're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. There is absolutely no hiding from Allah. So we learn in Surah An-Nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that tell the believing men that they should lower their gaze, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and that they should guard their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ, that is purer for them. Meaning if they lower their gaze, that is better for them. And then the ayah ends with إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Indeed, Allah is fully aware of that which they are doing. Meaning, even if a person does something in their private life, in their personal life, even if it's with regards to what they choose to look at, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of that. We learn in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا, that your enmity towards a certain people, your bias towards certain individuals should not lead you to be unfair. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, be fair, be just, because that is closer to taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, and fear Allah because Allah is fully aware of what you are doing. Because sometimes what happens is that in our jealousy, in our animosity, in our bias towards certain individuals, we really exceed proper limits. Right? We say things which are unfair. We do things which are unfair. We go on insulting people, backbiting them, you know, saying things which are very inappropriate. So we should remember that Allah is fully aware of what we're doing. Allah is fully aware of what we're saying, of what we're thinking. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ, that vision cannot perceive him, meaning people are not able to see Allah. However, Allah perceives all vision, meaning what your eyes are looking at, where they're going, how they're wandering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what you're looking at. وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, and he is اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, the one who is fully aware. Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, this means that we should remember that we are not alone. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what is going on with us. That what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, whatever situation that we're in, whether it's easy or hard or painful or frightening, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And you know, when you have that feeling that someone knows and someone cares, then half of your worry and your stress goes away. We see that, you know, our pain basically intensifies when we are alone in our pain, when we have no one to share our feelings with, or when we don't even find ourselves capable of expressing ourselves, when we don't even know what we're going through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, meaning every single moment of pain that you experience, every single hardship that you experience, Allah is fully aware. So you don't have to feel alone. Allah knows what your fears are, what your apprehensions are. You know, people cannot even understand the pain that you're going through. Allah is fully aware, so you're not alone. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, we should remember that we should put our trust in Allah, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what is, what was, what is good, what is not. He knows the surface and he knows what is hidden inside. He knows the present and he knows the future. He knows what something looks like right now and what it will be tomorrow. Because we see that things change, right? And it is this fear of change that makes us so, incapable of making decisions or being firm about, you know, what we have decided. So when we remember that Allah is khabir, Allah knows, you know, what's best for me and what's going to happen in the future, then this means that I should put my trust in Him. I should put my trust in Him with regards to what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. What has happened, meaning what has already, you know, reached me, what I have, what I'm already experiencing, then you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to me. He decided that for me with His complete knowledge. So you see, for example, sometimes people, they give us something or they tell us to do something and they have no idea about the fact that we have a headache, right? So imagine you're at home, you're laying down and your mom says, go do the dishes, right? Go load the dishwasher. And, you know, she might say that to you because she thinks you're being lazy, but she doesn't know that you've got such a bad headache, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decrees something for us, then remember that Allah is fully aware of our situation. He is fully aware of what we're capable of doing, what we're capable of handling, and what we're not capable of handling. So, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul with more than what they can bear. Why? Because Allah is khabir. He is fully aware. So He gives what He gives with His knowledge, and He keeps, away things from you. Again, that is also with His knowledge. So we should put our trust in Him. Right? He gives with knowledge, and and then this also means that we should stop fearing people. You see, sometimes we find out that someone has, you know, said something really negative about us, or we feel that someone doesn't like us. The way that they talk to us, or the way that they talk about us, or the fact that they're completely ignoring us, or we feel that, you know what, when we realize that they have blocked us on social media, etc., you know, we get sad. Right? And sometimes we also fear people, that what if they spread gossip about me? What if they spread, false things about me, untrue things about me? And what if, you know, their jealousy or their animosity towards me drives them to really do something to damage me, to harm me? So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. He is fully aware of all of their scheming, their malicious plans. So what are we supposed to do? Rely upon Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, and put your trust in the ever-living who does not die, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ, and glorify Him with His praise, وَكَفَى بِهِ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا, and Allah is sufficient, as khabir of the sins of His servants, meaning it is enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what sins His slaves are committing. Meaning He knows the wrong things that people are doing. And if He knows about it, that is enough for you. You don't need to worry anymore. You just entrust your affair to Allah, and you mend your relationship with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. And think about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced so many, challenges where people who were, think about the hypocrites, people who would come to his face and say that we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, soon after the Battle of Badr, we learned that Abdullah bin Ubay, the hypocrite, when he outwardly embraced Islam, what he would do is that whenever the Prophet ﷺ would give a khutbah, Abdullah bin Ubay would stand up at the same time. And he would turn towards the people and he would say, "Oh people, this is the messenger of Allah. We bear witness that he's the messenger of Allah." And, you know, he would go on apparently really praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before people. It was all really awkward, and a lot of people actually criticized him and basically told him, we don't need you to say all of this, right? And then we see that how Abdullah bin Ubay, he would say really rude things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his face, and worse things behind his back. And Abdullah bin Ubay actually had great influence on people. You know, for example, at the Battle of Uhud, imagine Abdullah bin Ubay, people are going towards Uhud, and Abdullah bin Ubay turns back and he says, "You know what? You didn't listen to me, so I'm not going to go with you." So he turned back, he went back to Medina, and so many people actually went back with him, right? So there are always going to be people who are going to try to harm you, who are going to try to hurt you, who are trying to make your life difficult, who will try to oppose you. But you know what? Remind yourself, Al-Khabir is there. He knows what these people are saying about me, how these people are, lying about me, the unfair, wrong things that they're doing with regards to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it, and that is enough for me, because he is just and he will take care of this matter. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, that means that we should stop fearing people. This doesn't mean that we don't do anything to defend ourselves. Of course, that has its own place. It doesn't mean that we don't, you know, do anything to stop people who are, spreading lies about us. We should do our part, but that fear and that anxiety inside of our hearts, that should sort of diminish. Why? Because of this realization that Allah is al-khabir. He knows exactly what is going on. And you see, sometimes we try to have control over our situation, right? That we want to have complete control over our matters. And we don't have that control because we don't even have complete knowledge. So Allah is al-khabir and He has complete control over every matter. So trust in Him. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, this also means that we should worship Him in the best way. We should worship Him, with husnul ibadah, with beautiful worship. Why? Because Allah knows how we are worshiping Him, what is our intention, what feelings we have in our hearts, what is the reason. For example, if a person is praying salah, Allah knows the full reality of that person. Does that person have wudu? Is that person sincere in their salah? Right? Are they praying at the right time? Are they reciting properly? Do they even realize what they're reading? Did they skip something or not? You know, did they pray properly or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware. So when Allah is fully aware, this means that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beautiful way possible. And we should also rush towards His obedience, meaning towards, doing things that He, the Exalted, loves, He likes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That obey Allah and His Messenger, and Allah is fully aware of what you are doing. So are you going to worship Allah beautifully, or is there going to be, some riya showing off and, insincerity in the way that you worship Allah? Now, when it comes to making dua with the name Al-Khabir, we see that there is no specific dua that mentions the name of Allah Al-Khabir. However, when we are making dua, in our own words, when we're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should use this name, especially when we are seeking forgiveness. That, Ya Allah, You are fully aware, You are Al-Khabir of my sins, of my deeds, right? Of my khiyana, right? That people may not know where I have cheated them, but You know exactly where I have cheated people, intentionally or unintentionally. You are fully aware, Ya Allah, You are khabir of my deficiencies, of my weaknesses. So I call upon You to forgive me, right? And then use this name also when you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength, when you find yourself unable and weak, right? Whether it is in the face of, different challenges in life in terms of illness or, some financial difficulty or in your relationships, or it is the hurtful things that people say. So use this name that, Ya Allah, You are Al-Khabir, right? You know exactly what is going on with me. You give me the strength and You make things easy for me. Ya Allah, You are Al-Khabir. You know exactly what people are saying about me that is not correct. So You defend me and You protect me. So use this name of Allah Al-Khabir when you're calling upon Allah the Exalted. The next set of names that we will look at is the names Al-Alim and Al-Alim. Al-Alim, the knower, Al-Alim, the ever-knowing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, He is the hearing, the knowing. He also says, عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, that Allah is the knower of the unseen and the witnessed. فَتَعَالَ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. So He is high above what they associate with Him. Now, the name of Allah, Al-Alim, occurs 13 times in the Quran. And Alim basically means the one who knows. It's a general form. And Alim occurs 157 times. That's amazing. 157 times in the Quran. And Alim is more emphatic than Alim. Alim is one who is ever knowing, meaning always knowing. And then Al-Allam also appears in the Quran four times. And Allam, like Ghaffar, Allam means one who is perfect in his knowledge. This is the most emphatic form. So his knowledge is perfect and total and complete. And when we see the names Al-Alim, Al-Alim, specifically Al-Alim, we see that the name of Allah, Al-Alim, comes with the name Al-Hakim. Hakim meaning one who is wise, and Alim meaning one who is knowing. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is paired with his wisdom, right? That he knows and he judges, and he is absolute, and his wisdom is perfect. So this means that his decisions, his decrees are also perfect. Then we see that the name Al-Alim also comes in the Quran with the name As-Samir, that he is the hearing, the knowing, which again signifies that his knowledge is perfect, because when he listens, he hears. His knowledge is direct, right? Meaning he directly knows. So his knowledge is free of any error. And then we see that the name Al-Alim also appears with Aziz. For example, Allah says, ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, that this is the decree, the planning of the one who is mighty, the one who is knowledgeable. So with his knowledge, he is also perfect in his ability. And then we see that the name also appears with the name Al-Qadir, meaning the one who is fully able to execute his will. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. So he has knowledge and he also has perfect ability. And then the name also appears with Al-Halim. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَلِيمٌ. Halim meaning forbearing and tolerant. So with his perfect knowledge of, you know, the kind of things that we do, he is also very forbearing, which is why he doesn't punish us immediately. Now, these names, Al-Alim, Al-Alim, Al-Lam, of course, they mean the one who has ilm, right? The one who knows. And ilm is to know something exactly as it is, all right? To know something exactly as it is, meaning to have factual, correct, absolute knowledge. And it also means to know something truly or certainly. Because sometimes, you know, we express our awareness of certain things that, yeah, I know this, but I'm not sure, right? We say, I know this, but I'm not 100% sure. So, ilm is to know with certainty, okay? And it also means to have absolute, complete or correct factual knowledge of something. So it is the opposite of jahl. Jahl as in ignorance. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, what does that mean? It means that, of course, he is ever knowing, which means that he knows what was, what is, what will be. He knows what is in front of us, what is behind us, you know, something hidden, obvious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. His knowledge encompasses all things. So nothing, whether it is in the sky or in the earth, is hidden from Allah. As we read in Ayatul Kursi, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows what is before them and also what is behind them. So if anything is in the sky or anything in the earth or anything in between the two or below the earth, nothing is unknown to Allah. So there is no place and no thing except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge of it. Not a leaf falls, not a thought occurs, and nothing moves except that Allah knows. He knows the number of trees, the number of pebbles, the number of specks of dust and grains of sand. His knowledge includes everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. This also means that he knows what is, what was, what will be, and also what is not, okay? This is a little tricky, but try to think about it, that he knows what is and also what is not. And if it occurred, how it would be. You understand? Like, for example, we don't know what someone is going to do, right? We don't know that, you know, for example, if there is a child, what they're going to become when they're older. We don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if this child is to live up to the age of 55, for example, what actions they're going to do their entire life, right? We don't know. And this is why we learned that when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about, you know, children who die, and especially children who are born in the families of non-Muslims, he said that Allah is most knowing of what they were going to do. Okay, meaning if they were to live, what they were going to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So He knows what is and also what is not. And if it were to happen, what it would be. All right, so this shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is what? It is perfect. It is absolutely perfect. And then this means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is perfect, this means that it is His knowledge is neither acquired by learning nor preceded by ignorance. Think about this. We only come to know of things once they happen or once we learn about them. Right? How do we learn about them? We see them, you know, we hear about them, we read about them, etc. There's different tools of, you know, learning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped us with. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not limited to, you know, these things that he doesn't learn. No, he knows. And there's a difference between learning and knowing. As creation, we learn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows about everything. And then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not preceded by ignorance. Meaning, it's not that Allah comes to know of things. We come to know of things. Yesterday we had no idea and today we find out. And guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about today. When? From before. Right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not followed by forgetfulness. What is our problem? We learn things and then we forget about them. And then we set reminders and then we take notes and then we memorize and we take tests and then again we forget. Right? So this is our reality that we forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget. And then we see that our knowledge at times, what we know, could be completely false. It could be completely wrong. Right? But we could be completely misinformed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not paired with error, meaning He knows the reality, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yadillu rabbi wa la yansa, my Lord, He does not make a mistake, nor does He forget, because His knowledge is perfect. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is perfect. So this means that first of all, He knew things even before they existed. And this is what we mean when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of the unseen, because the unseen includes the future, what will happen, what might happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows things even before their existence, right? He knows people even before they are born. He knows what we're going to do even before we actually do those actions. Right, so we learn in the Quran, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the keys of the unseen, meaning there are certain matters of the unseen which لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ, no one knows them except Allah. And we learn in اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, that it is Allah indeed who has knowledge of the hour, meaning when it's going to happen. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, He is the one who sends down rain. Subhanallah, based on our, you know, observation, we think that there's going to be rain, but then there is no rain, right? So who knows whether it's really going to rain or not, even before it rains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that absolute knowledge. We don't. We could, make a completely wrong conclusion. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and He knows what is in the wombs. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, and knows, no person knows what they're going to earn tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ, and no soul knows in which land they're going to die. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ, indeed Allah is knowing, aware. So remember that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows things even before their existence. Okay? Secondly, remember that the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen, right? And He instructed the pen to write everything that was going to happen. So once everything was written in Lawh al-Mahfuz, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew about things even before they were recorded. And He knew about them even after they were recorded, but before they occur. So for example, years and years and years before we were born, it was written in Lawh al-Mahfuz that, you know, you were going to be born on a certain date, right? But before your birth, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that you were going to be born? Absolutely. Absolutely. So we learn in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٍ. Do you not know that Allah knows whatever is in the sky and the earth? That is all written in the record. Which record? Lawh al-Mahfuz. And indeed, all of that is easy for Allah. So before even, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا, before even things come into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about them. And then thirdly, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows things when they occur, as they occur. He knows them as they are happening. So for example, in the Quran, we learn, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows what goes into the earth and what is going into the earth. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. And what is emerging from the earth, what is coming out. So this very second, right, this very moment, as you know, so many things are happening, you know, all over the universe, every single second. You know, for example, you are sitting or you're standing and you are taking in oxygen, whatever oxygen is going inside of your body, the exact amount, the exact nature of that air, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And as you breathe out, right, every inhaling and every exhaling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your breaths, right, your breathing as you are breathing. Subhanallah. And think about how many, uncountable things are happening in this universe. Now think about these three stages that He knew even before things were written, and then He knew when things were written, and then He knows as things are happening, and then finally the fourth state is that He knows the state of things after they have occurred, meaning after they have come into existence. So for example, you are born, right? Now, what do you do in your life? What kind of actions you do? You know, for example, when a person dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what they have been doing. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they not know that Allah knows their secrets and also their, you know, their private conversations? So these are four stages of knowledge, all right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute knowledge of everything. And this is mentioned in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. That He has the keys of the unseen, meaning matters which none knows except He. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows what is in the land and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a leaf falls except that Allah knows about it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And there is no grain in the darkness of the earth. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. And nothing fresh or dry. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Except that it is in a clear record. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about it. All of it was written. And then as they occur, as a leaf falls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And then after things have occurred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still has complete knowledge of everything. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in His knowledge, what does that mean for us? This means that we should first of all believe that Allah knows everything, right? That Allah created everything, He owns everything. And He also knows everything. This is, you know, part of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's uluhiyyah, in the fact that He's the only one worthy of worship, in His rububiyyah, in the fact that He alone is Rabb, that He knows everything. Because Allah, why is He worshipped? Because He is God. And part of, you know, His divine nature is the fact that He knows everything. Every single thing, big and small, right, is known to Allah. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, what does that mean? That we should be absolutely humble before Allah. And He never try to even criticize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment. That, what are we and who is Allah? What do we know? We know nothing. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know? He knows everything. So, show some humility. You know, when we meet a person And we find out that, they've done a PhD in such and such, right? They're a Stanford graduate, for example, right? Or they work at, Google, for example. Or they have done this research and that research, and they have written this book or that book. All of a sudden, we are in awe of them, right? We just want to, sit with them and we want to pick their brain. We want to ask them questions and we believe in, the things that they're talking about. We believe in them, right? We don't argue with them because we recognize that, here's this dude who has so much knowledge and experience. And here I am, I'm nowhere near, their level of knowledge and competence. So when we meet someone who has knowledge, we show them respect, we show admiration, right? We become humble before them. We come as a seeker. And this is with regards to the creation, whose knowledge is little, it is incomplete, it is imperfect, it is full of errors, it is with a lot of ignorance, they have forgotten many things, yet we show them so much respect and admiration. This is the makhluq. Then what should be our behavior towards the Khaliq, towards the Creator, who knows everything? And we should demonstrate absolute humility before Allah. That whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, whether it is in terms of, religious obligations, the things that He has commanded us to do, never say, oh, why is this the case in Islam? Right? How come the Quran says this? And how come we have to do this? Never object, because you know what? Perhaps we need to learn, right? The wisdom or the benefit. We need to understand the problem is with us. The problem is not with Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. The problem is not in the fact, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a mistake in giving us a command that we are not able to handle. Never. Never ever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of any deficiencies. He is perfect in His knowledge. So when it comes to religious commands, show adab, show respect to Allah by accepting whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. And then when it comes to his decisions regarding your personal life, again, Allah is al-alim. He knows. He has perfect knowledge. Who am I to, be upset with his decrees? Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb, right? Why am I pleased? Why am I happy? Why am I content with, the decrees of Allah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, right? His knowledge is perfect. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely knowledgeable, this also means that we are cautious of Him, right? Meaning that we are mindful of Him and we have haya of Him. We have some shyness before Him. Shyness before Him, what does that mean? That means that in every state of ours, we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows exactly what I'm doing. You see, people may not be able to figure out what we're doing, right? Sometimes what happens is that we hide behind screens. We hide behind fake names and fake, accounts and fake identities. And, we can try to hide from people, but are we able to hide from Allah? Absolutely not. There's no place, no moment, right? No time that we can hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have haya of Allah, right? And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, it also means that we should ask Him for knowledge. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our knowledge, because He is al-alim. He is the source of ilm, all right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to make dua in the Quran that waqul rabbi zidni ilma, that say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that narfa'u darajatin man nasha' wa fawqa kulli dhi ilmin alim, that we exalt the status of whomsoever that we want and above every knowledgeable person is someone who is more knowledgeable, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in his knowledge. And remember that Musa and Al-Khidr, when they were in the ship, and there was a bird that came and drank some water, Al-Khidr explained to Musa alayhi salam that your knowledge and my knowledge, all of that combined, is like what? Is like the amount of water that this bird just took in its mouth. And the knowledge of Allah is like what? It's like the ocean. It's unlimited. It's so vast that we cannot even comprehend it. We don't even know its limits. It doesn't have any limits. Astaghfirullah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge is absolute and perfect. So how is it that we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these names? How do we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these names? We learn, for example, in the Quran, for some reason I'm not able to move the slide. Are you able to see the slides? Okay, good. Bismillah. Okay, so we learn in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, "A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi." That I seek refuge in Allah, okay, who is as-sami', the ever-hearing, al-alim, the ever-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. He hears the whispers of shaitan. He hears the words of people, and he is al-alim. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows, sometimes we cannot figure out what the right process is of fixing something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So a'udhu, I seek refuge in Allah, who is as-sami' al-alim. I beg him to protect me from who, from what? Min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, from the shaytan who is accursed. Min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthi, from the puffing, from the evil suggestions of shaytan. Hamz, nafkh, his puffing up, and his nafth, his spitting. All right. Basically, these are different words that they refer to certain things. But the point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make this dua. He would say this version of ta'awudh before his recitation of the Quran. And this was actually in salah, meaning when he would be praying and he would say Allahu Akbar, and he would recite the dua istiftah, for example, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, different dua istiftah that he would make. And then he would say, "A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafthihi wa nafthi." And then he would begin his recitation. Okay. We also learn about another dua, which is dua istikhara, right? What do we say in dua istikhara? Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik, that, oh Allah, I ask you for khair because of your knowledge. I ask you for goodness because of your knowledge. Wa astaqdiruka biqudratik wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim, fa innaka taqdiru wa la aqdiru wa ta'lamu wa la a'lamu. I ask you because you know and I do not know. Wa anta 'allamu al-ghuyub, and you are the knower of all of the matters of the unseen. Right? Allahumma in kunta ta'lam, oh Allah, if you know, that anna hadha al-amra khayrun li, that this matter is good for me, fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri, it's good for me in my religion, for my livelihood, for my ultimate consequence, faqdurhu li wa yassirhu li, then decree this for me and make it easy for me, thumma barik li fi, then bless me in this. Wa in kunta ta'lamu anna hadha al-amra sharrun li, and if you know this matter to be evil for me, fi dini wa ma'ashi, in regards to my religion or my livelihood, wa aqibati amri, and my ultimate consequence, fasrifhu anni wasrifni anhu, then remove this from me and remove me from it. Waqdur li al-khayra haythu kana thumma ardini bi, and then decree something better for me from wherever that you want, and then make me happy with it. So we see that in this dua of istikhara, what are we doing? We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us what is best for us. Why? Because he knows what is ultimately best for us. right? And then also in the morning and the evening, Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Three times in the morning, three times in the evening. And then we learn that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he made the dua, he built the Kaaba, he said, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. That, oh Allah, accept this from us. Indeed, you are the hearing, the knowing. So when you are making dua, use this name. When you are seeking refuge with Allah, use this name. When you are making an important decision, again, use this name. And then when you find yourself ignorant, unaware of so many important things, then again, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma, because He is al-alim, and we have no knowledge except the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. The next name of Allah that we're going to be looking at, the next set of names, in fact, is the names Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir. Al-Awwal and Al-Akhir. Al-Awwal meaning the first, Al-Akhir meaning the last. And these names of Allah, they're mentioned in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. That He is the first and the last, the ascendant and the intimate, and He is of all things knowing. So remember that these names occur once in the Quran. And what does the name Al-Awwal mean? Remember that Awwal basically means first, right? Or former, preceding all others. And Al-Akhir means the last, or the aftermost. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the meaning of these names when he said in his dua that, O Allah, أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء. That, O Allah, you are the first, so there is nothing before you. وأنت الآخر فليس بعدك شيء. And you are the last, so there is nothing after you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal, what does that mean? It means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first before whom is no one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first before whom is no one, meaning that there was no one before Him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that كان الله ولم يكن شيء قبله, that there was Allah and there was nothing before Him. In another narration we learn, ولم يكن شيء معه, and there was nothing with Him. So Allah is the first. And then this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first, meaning without a beginning, right? So He always was, okay, الذي لا لا لا, يعني the one who has no beginning, meaning He was always there. Because if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. So everything else that exists is what? It is His creation. So that, of course, means that He has to be first, right? So everything that exists, exists because of who? Because of Allah, al-awwal, the first, all right? And then the name of Allah, Al-Akhir, what does that mean? Al-Akhir means the last, meaning after whom is no one, which basically means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there even when everyone will die, when everyone will cease to exist. Allah will not die, right? So this means that there is nothing after Him. You see, what happens with the creation is what? That, you know, for example, five people in a family, one dies, four survive him, right? And then another one dies, so now three survive him. And then another one dies, and now two survive him. And now another one dies, and now there's only one left, right? And then he also dies. So you see how when it comes to the creation, even the last person of a people to survive will eventually die, right? When it comes to things, right? There are certain things that you've had from a very long time. You've had perhaps from when you were little. But you know that these things are not gonna last forever, right? There are certain things that outlive others, but there is nothing that absolutely outlives everything, except for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the last, meaning that He will be there when everyone dies, right? Because He will not die, so there is nothing after Him. So basically what that means, in other words, is He is the last who will remain when no one else will. Right? Meaning He is without an end. like we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, the ever-living. And that means that he always was and he will always be. So the names al-awwal, al-akhir mean the same thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that kullu shay'in halikun illa wajhah, that everything is going to be destroyed except for his face, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Kullu man 'alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram, that everyone on the earth is going to perish, is going to come to an end. Now when you think about the beginning or the ending of something, right? What does that show? It shows its temporary nature, right? The fact that it came into existence and then there came a point when it stopped existing. So it means that it is temporary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above this limitation. All right. So he always was and he always will be. So he is al-awwal, the first. So there is nothing before him, and he is al-akhir, meaning there is nothing that's going to outlive him. Okay. Meaning he will always be there. He will always be there. And then if you think about it, beginning and ending is what? It's with respect to time. Right? This applies to things which are affected by time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that limitation. So we learn, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. He is Allah, there is no God worthy of worship except Him. And He deserves praise in the beginning and the end, meaning always and forever, because He is always perfect and He is always there and He will always remain. Sheikh Al-Sa'di explains something amazing about these names. He says that everything besides Allah has come into existence after having not existed before. Meaning everything other than Allah, its nature is such that there was once a time when it did not exist. All right? And then it came into existence. When you think about human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, right? That there was a time when the human being was not even something that was mentioned, that was spoken of. The first time the concept of a human being that's going to live on earth was mentioned was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels, right? That إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew, but this is the first time that the angels heard about this, right? So there was a time when things did not exist, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always there, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always there, meaning He is al-hayy, He is the ever-living, He is al-khaliq, He is the creator, so He is al-awwal. So Sheikh Al-Sa'di says that realize that all you have, okay, any blessing that you enjoy, whether it is worldly or religious, Allah is its source. Because Allah is al-awwal. You see, when you backtrack, you know, for example, when you look at the fact that, for instance, you have a computer, right? What is this thing? It's made of, you know, aluminum, whatever, plastic, right? Maybe some gold in it, maybe some interesting metals in it. Okay, how did it come together? Okay, you say this company made it. Well, how did they make it, right? With what resources? And you go back, you know, this is when this certain processing unit was, you know, first made. This is when, you know, this particular software was first made. And then you keep going back, you know, you go all the way back to, you know, when people started using iron, etc. Any, subhanAllah, you go back, you keep going back, and what do you realize? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all of your blessings, right? There was a time when this computer of yours did not exist, right? How did it come into existence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it into existence. So whatever that we have, whatever that we enjoy, whether it is of religious nature or worldly nature, yani we have it because of who? Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-awwal, right? So yani this should fill our hearts with gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal, this means that He is yani the first to show mercy to us, the first to show favor to us, the first to show love to us, the first to show generosity to us before anyone else favors us, before anyone else is kind to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind to us, right? First and foremost, before anyone gives us anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So He is the ultimate source of all goodness. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-akhir, this means that He is eternal, right? Meaning everything will end, but Allah will remain. So what should be, who should be our ultimate goal? The one in whom we find shelter. Who is that one permanent being? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this means that we should make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His approval, our ultimate goal. Because no matter what we have, okay, no matter, you know, for example, you really want to be friends with a person, right? So you try so hard, you do different things, you spend time with them, you give them gifts, you spend time with them, etc. You make friends with them. Okay, great, mashallah. You enjoy, you know, your friendship. You get married to someone, you enjoy your time together. But then eventually what happens? People, loved ones are separated, right? Loved ones are separated because we know that people are not meant to last forever. Good things are not meant to last forever. So if we make the creation our ultimate goal, we are always going to be afraid and hurt and disappointed. But when we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our ultimate goal, that Ya Allah, it is Your approval that I seek. On You, I put my trust, right? From You, I expect the best. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the time of his death, right? Because remember, the prophets of Allah are given the choice at the time of death, to choose death or to choose more life. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allahumma al-rafiqul a'la. That, oh Allah, I seek al-rafiqul a'la, the best, the highest companionship, meaning I want You. Even though he had the choice to live on, but he preferred to have that highest companionship, right? So that should be our ultimate goal. The next set of names that we will look at, and then inshallah together we will look at the dua that we can make with these names, is the names of Allah, al-zahir, al-batin. And remember, these names appear in the same ayah, هو الأول والآخر الظاهر الباطن. Now, al-zahir, al-batin, these names also occur once in the Quran. And remember that the name of Allah, al-zahir, this is from, actually, let's look at the meaning of these words first. Okay, zahara means to be manifest, all right, or to be apparent. Zahir is that which is external, that which is evident, okay? And the opposite of this is batana. Batana is that which is unapparent, you know, to be unapparent, to be hidden. And batin is that which is hidden, or that which is internal, that which is concealed, okay? So zahir, manifest, batin, hidden, okay? Or zahir, external, evident, and batin, internal, concealed. Okay? This is the first meaning. Secondly, remember that zahara also means to prevail, okay? To be dominant. And batana also means to be intimate, meaning to be very close. So, for example, a very close friend or close friendship is called bitana. And this is mentioned in the Quran that the believers should only take other believers as bitana, okay? And someone whom you allow into your inner affairs, okay, is who? Your bitana. So batana bi fulanin means he became one of his special close friends because now he is admitted into, you know, those inner affairs, okay? Like, for example, you don't go on telling the world about, you know, the fact that you like someone or you dislike someone, or that you're very hurt because of you know, the way that someone yelled at you, or that you were very afraid about you know, what's going to happen in the near future. You don't share your feelings with just anybody. You don't share with just anybody what you got on your test. You don't just share with anybody you know, how much money you make, etc. You know, your personal matters related to your personal life, you keep them private. But then there are some people whom, you know, you feel so comfortable with that you actually tell them, right? You invite them into your personal space, okay? So this is batana, okay? To be so close, to know the inward reality of something. Okay. So these names, al-zahir al-batin, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained. He said in his du'a, he said, "Wa anta al-zahiru falaysa fawqaka shay," that you are al-zahir, so there is nothing above you. "Wa anta al-batinu falaysa dunaka shay," and you are al-batin, meaning the ever near, so there is nothing closer than you. So let's look at these names. What do these names mean? Al-zahir means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ascendant, meaning al-zahir ala kulli shay', that he is predominant over everything besides him. So basically, everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where it is. It is beneath him, it is under him. And this is in every sense, okay? In the sense that, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above his creation, right? So everything is below him. Secondly, that he is the highest, meaning the most eminent, al-aziz. So yes, everything else is less than him, right? In worth, all right? In status, in qadr. And then he is al-zahir, meaning that he has dominance over everything. So there is nothing except that it is under his control, right? It is under his power. It is within his knowledge. He is able to do whatever that he wants. So Allah is al-zahir, meaning, first of all, the ascendant, predominant over everything besides him. Secondly, al-zahir also means that he is the manifest. Because remember, the meaning of al-zahir is also one that is manifest. How is he manifest? We're not able to see him, right? So how exactly is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifest? Meaning he is ever evident to those who believe. Meaning, a believer believe so strongly, there's so much yaqeen that a believer is able to perceive the signs of his Lord and everything that is happening around him, right? He's able to see, the hand of God in everything that happens, right? Not literally with the eyes, of course, because that is not possible in the world, not possible at all, but with the signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever evident with his actions, all right? His attributes, he is ever evident, but only to those who believe. And then the name of Allah, al-batin, what does that mean? Al-batin, first of all, means that he is ever near, okay? Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ, meaning there is nothing that is closer to us than Allah, and there is nothing that is far from Allah. Okay, meaning there is nothing that is too far for Allah. So for example, in the Quran we learn, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, that we are closer to the human being than even his jugular vein. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-batin. Okay, so there is nothing closer to us than him. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-batin, it also means that he knows the inward, the batin. Okay, nothing is hidden from him. Like we discussed earlier, that you see, there are people whom you invite into your personal life, into your personal space, right? Whom you talk, you talk to them about your feelings, your inner feelings. You don't share that with everybody else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-batin, meaning he has access to the most hidden, the most private things in your life also, right? Your innermost feelings are known to him. Your circumstances, different states that you go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about you. As Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, that there is nothing in the earth or in the sky that is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is known to him. And then al-batin also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-batin, meaning he is hidden. So he is veiled from the eyes of the creation. So we're not able to see him, right? He is unapparent to us in the sense that we're not able to see him, okay? So as Allah says in the Quran, لا تدركه الأبصار, vision cannot perceive him. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perceives all vision. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal, the first, al-akhir, the last, al-zahir, the ascendant, al-batin, the ever near, how is it that we should call upon Allah through these names? First of all, we see that in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported a dua
that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make before going to sleep. All right. And a similar dua, very similar, just a slight variation of wording, is reported in At-Tirmidhi, in which we learn that Fatima radiallahu anha came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him for a servant. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught her to make this dua instead. And what is this dua? A beautiful dua that we should also say before we go to sleep, all right? And a dua that we should make especially when we feel overwhelmed with work, and especially when we don't enjoy housework, all right? Or when we find it difficult, when it gets overwhelming. So make this dua. What is this dua? Allahumma rabba samawati sab'i wa rabba al-arshi al-azim. That, O Allah, Lord of the skies, wa rabba al-ard. The version that I have on the screen here, I'm going to read that. Allahumma rabba samawati wa rabba al-ardi wa rabba al-arshi al-azim. That, O Allah, you are the Lord of the skies and the Lord of the earth and the Lord of the great throne. Rabbana, our Lord, wa rabba kulli shay, and the Lord of everything. Faliq al-habbi wa nawa, the cleaver, the splitter of the grain and the seeds. Wa munzil at-Tawrat wal-Injil wal-Furqan, the one who has sent down the Torah, the Injil, and the Furqan. Furqan, another name for Quran. A'udhu bika min sharri kulli shay'in anta akhidhun bi nasiyati. O Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of everything which you hold with its forelock. Meaning everything is in your control, right? And I ask you to protect me from its evil. Allahumma antal awwalu falaysa qablaka shay. O Allah, you are the first, so there is nothing before you. Wa antal akhiru falaysa ba'daka shay. And you are the last, so there is nothing that will be beyond you or that will be after you. Wa antal zahiru falaysa fawqaka shay. You are the ascendant, so there is nothing above you. Wa antal batinu falaysa dunaka shay. And you are the intimate, the ever near, so there is nothing closer than you. اِقْضِ عَنَّ الدَّيْنَ وَأَغْنِنَا مِنَ الْفَقْرِ. Pay our debts for us and keep us safe from poverty. So a beautiful dua that we can also make, because remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal, He should be the first for us. Meaning we should also call upon Him before we call upon anybody else. And the last of our worries also, you know, we don't worry about them because we believe in al-akhir. And we should rely on al-zahir, the one who has everything in his control, who is al-batin, the one who is ever near, who never leaves us alone. So let's rely upon him. The next set of names that inshallah we'll be looking at are the names of Allah al-ghafoor and al-ghaffar. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafiru al-dhunub. He is the forgiver of sins. He is ghafoor, he is ever forgiving. And he is ghaffar, he is the perpetual forgiver. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, and He is the forgiving, the merciful. And He also says, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفَّارُ. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is in between them, He is the exalted in might, the perpetual forgiver. So when you look at these names, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghaffar, and also in the Quran we learn about Ghafir, Ghafir al-dhanb. Ghafir al-dhanb appears once, and it means the one who forgives sins. Ghafoor occurs over 90 times in the Quran. And basically, Ghafoor is ever forgiving, meaning the one who forgives a lot. And Ghaffar appears 5 times in the Quran, and it means the perpetual forgiver, meaning over and over again, for the greatest of sins even, His forgiveness is so vast that at times a person thinks that they could never be forgiven, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. He is Al-Ghaffar. So the name Ghafoor occurs more than 90 times, and Ghaffar occurs 5 times in the Quran. Now when we look at the meaning of these names, you see Ghufran, which is generally translated as to forgive. What does ghufran mean? Ghufran is to cover, okay, or conceal something. This is the primary signification. And, you know, for example, it is said, ghafara shayba bil khidab, that so-and-so covered or concealed the white hair with dye. Okay, so the white hair was covered, ghafara, with what? With hair dye. All right. Or غفر المتاع في الوعاء, that he put the goods in the bag. Okay. So when you put things in your bag, they are hidden, right? They're put away. But once you put something inside, then you're also sort of protecting it. So غفر or غفران is to conceal and protect. So مغفر from the same root is used for a helmet, because what does a helmet do? It doesn't just cover your head. It also protects your head. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, right? He غفر, what does that mean? It means that he conceals the sins of his servants, right? That he hides them. He puts the sins away. Why? Because if those sins are exposed, then the servant would be humiliated and the servant would be embarrassed, right? I mean, think about it. We do commit many, many sins, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expose all of them, right? He covers our sins. And then ghafara also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins, meaning that he protects people from the consequences of their sins in this life and also in the next life. We learned that, on the Day of Judgment, the believer will be asked in private about his sins, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, أَتَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا? Do you remember such and such sin? Do you remember committing this sin? And the believer will say, رَبِّي أَعْرِفُ. That my Lord, I do remember, I do recognize, yes, I did commit this. So the believer will go on admitting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, قَدْ سَتَرُتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I concealed your sins for you in the world, وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. And today I will forgive you for them. And then the record of his good deeds will be given to him. And so basically, a person will not be punished. So forgiveness means what? It means two things. It means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals the sins. He does not expose them, because in their exposure is what? Humiliation and embarrassment. And then secondly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the servant from the consequences of the sins. Why? Because the consequences of those sins are damaging in this life and in the next. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, and Ghafir. So you see, sometimes we think, yeah, I've done something wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafir. And if you feel like you've done a lot of wrong, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafur. And if you think that you are the worst person ever, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghaffar, perpetually forgiving, extremely forgiving. So there is no room for despair, right? So when we look at these names, al-ghafur, specifically, we see that the name Al-Ghafur in the Quran comes with the name Rahim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and forgiving, which gives us even more hope to seek His forgiveness. And it's also paired with Al-Aziz, the one who is mighty, which means that while we hope for forgiveness, we should also be afraid. So there should be hope and fear when it comes to seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see the name of Allah Ghaffar is paired with Aziz. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-aziz al-ghaffar, He is the mighty, the perpetual forgiver, meaning He doesn't forgive out of weakness. If He wants, He can punish us. But He forgives because He Himself is al-ghaffar and He is Rahman. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafir, ghafur, ghaffar, what does that mean? It means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins, even if they may be many, and even if they may be great, too big, too serious. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses people in the Quran, saying that قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. In another place, we learn whoever does something evil or does wrong, then he seeks forgiveness from Allah, then this person will find Allah to be غفور الرحيمة, forgiving and merciful. We learn, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Your Lord is vast in forgiveness, meaning His forgiveness is vast. It's a lot, more than your sins. And this is something that's clarified in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I will forgive you for what you have done and I shall not mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as that. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is greater than our sins. There is no sin that is too big, too great, and no sins that are too many for Allah to forgive. And remember, in a hadith, we learned that Shaitan said that O Allah, I will continue to lead them astray as long as their souls are in their bodies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded that by my honor and by my might, I will continue to forgive them so long as they seek forgiveness from me. So what does that mean? That means that we should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, and we should hope for His forgiveness. And we should also put effort on our part. What is our part? Our part is that we should leave the sin, right? Every time that we realize this is something wrong, we should leave it. And we should actually seek His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. That if you're overall righteous, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving towards awwabin. Who are awwabin? Those who constantly turn back to Allah. In another place we learn, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ. I am extremely forgiving towards the one who repents. And this is why we see to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, he would seek forgiveness over and over again. So this is why we should also keep seeking forgiveness. We learn in a hadith that, you know, a man committed a sin and he said, oh my Lord, forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Then after some time, the man committed another sin and he said, oh my Lord, forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Then again, after some time, that man fell into another sin and he felt bad. And again, he made tawbah to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. And in the hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant committed a sin, and he knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins. And so I have forgiven him. He can do whatever that he wants. Why? Because now this person has made a habit, right? That every time this person realizes, oh, oops, I messed up, right? I've done this wrong. I should not have done this. I should not have said this. Yeah, Allah forgive me. Oh, Allah forgive me. When a person keeps seeking forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also keeps forgiving him because he is the perpetual forgiver. Qatada rahimahullah said that this Quran guides you, it informs you about your disease and also your cure. Your disease is your sins and your cure is istighfar, seeking forgiveness, right? So when you keep seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah also forgives you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so forgiving, then this means that we should also be forgiving. We should also show forgiveness to people. We should not be too hard on them. We should not be so, you know, judgmental that a person makes one mistake and we completely cancel them. That a person, you know, we find out about, you know, a mistake or an error or a weakness in a person and we completely, you know, cancel them. And we're like, oh, there is no good in them. And we don't think anything good about them. Have some tolerance, show some forgiveness, show some pardon, you know, conceal the sins of people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed your sins, you should also conceal the sins of people. Give them the benefit of doubt. Allow them space and time to realize and repent and seek forgiveness. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, also remember that Allah protects His servants from the consequences of their sins. And this is, of course, in this world and also in the next world. Then what are some du'as that we can make with these names? First of all, we learn about this beautiful du'a. أستغفرالله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. That, O Allah, I seek forgiveness. I seek forgiveness from Allah. From Allah, the one who is such that there is no God worthy of worship except for Him. And He is Al-Hayy, the ever-living, Al-Qayyum, the eternal, and I repent to Him. And the Prophet ﷺ said about this dua that if a person makes this dua, then he will be forgiven even if he has fled from the battle. And remember, fleeing from the battle is one of the major sins. So even if a person has committed a serious offense, if a person makes this dua, inshallah, there is forgiveness. another very beautiful dua that I hope, inshallah, you can memorize and you can include in your salah. We learn that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the masjid and he saw a man who was just at the end of his salah. So the man was sitting in tashahud, okay, and he was reciting the tashahud, at-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat, and then after that, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin, and then after that, you make du'as, like for example, Rabbana atina fi dunya, or Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabri, right? So the man also made this du'a. And what is this du'a? Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah. O Allah, I ask you indeed, O Allah, you are al-ahad, the one, as-samad. So he mentioned the names of Allah, الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, who is neither born nor was he given birth to. He neither gives birth nor is he given birth to. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدًا, and there is nothing that is equal to him. I ask you, O Allah, أَنْ تَغْفِرَ لِي ذُنُوبِي, that, O Allah, you forgive me my sins. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, indeed, you are the forgiving, the merciful. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard this man making this dua, he said, قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ, this man has been forgiven, this man has been forgiven, this man has been forgiven. So this is a dua that we should also make in our salah, at the end of salah. Why? To seek forgiveness from all of our sins. And then also remember the other dua that we are encouraged to make in salah, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathiran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this dua to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And then of course Sayyidul Istighfar, which is a dua that we are to recite in the morning and in the evening, and if a person recites it in the morning and then they die during that day, then they will inshallah be forgiven of the people of paradise. And this is Allahumma anta rabbi la إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. In this dua also we confess our sins and we acknowledge that no one can forgive sins except for Allah, and so we ask him for forgiveness. And we conclude our class also with the same dua, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our shortcomings, whether they were deliberate or they were accidental, whether they were done in foolishness or, you know, knowingly, whether we realized or we didn't, whether we did it out of ignorance or out of pride. Any sin, big or small, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the consequences of our sins in this life and in the next. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow His mercy upon us so that He does not leave us. He does not abandon us. Rather, we keep holding on to Him and He keeps leading us, increasing us in our guidance until the day that we meet Him. Bi-idhnillah. Inshallah, we'll conclude here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.